scripture this morning, however you access it, whether it's on your phone, your tablet, your Bible, however you want to open up the scripture this morning, I'm going to invite you to turn over to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 34, and I'm going to begin reading with verse number 29. So 2 Chronicles, chapter 34, and we're going to begin with verse 39. Thank you, sweet Jesus. 2 Chronicles chapter 34, beginning with the 29th verse. Then the king sent and gathered together all of the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord. And all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the priests, and the Levites, and all of the people, great and small. And he read in their ears all of the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord, and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all of his heart and with all of his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which were written in the book. And he caused all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. And Josiah took away all of the abominations out of the countries that pertained to the children of Israel, and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. And all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. And I'm going to stop reading right there this morning. Ask that you will bow your heads one more time with me, and let us pray and ask the Lord for his help and for his anointing to minister the word of God. Heavenly Father, we are thankful this morning for the opportunity to gather in the house of the Lord. We are thankful this morning, Father, for the anointing of your Holy Spirit that we sense even now, oh God. We have worshiped and we have praised and we have glorified your name in song. We have lifted up our hearts upon high to be joined with your heart this morning. And now we come to the reading of the word of God. Of my own self, oh God, I am absolutely inadequate. I trust that you will anoint me. I trust that you will let the anointing of the Holy Spirit rest upon my heart. Impart unto me your thought. Impart unto me utterance. Give me words to speak, I ask, oh God. And Father, I pray that you would let what you would put in my heart come forth with the anointing, with clarity and simplicity and with power. Let it fall upon ears that are touched of the Holy Spirit to hear and receive. And I ask these things, Lord, that Christ may be glorified, that the children of God would be edified. And for all of these things, we will be eternally grateful. And we ask them in Jesus' precious name. And everyone in agreement said amen. Amen. So I want to title my message this morning, Standing in Our Place. Standing in Our Place. The text that we have read this morning is found among the historical pages of Chronicles, the Chronicles of the Kings. It is here in the books of 1st and 2nd Chronicles that we read the chronology of all of the different kings that ruled over the people of God. Some of them, we read, greatly feared the Lord. Some of them greatly honored God. The scripture often says of them that they did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Still others of those kings that ruled over Israel, they were evil and they were wicked, and they led the children of God into idolatry. And they led the children of God away from the Lord and into great sin. The particular text that we have read this morning, amen, speaks of a young king by the name of Josiah. His reign followed that of his father Amon. And Amon, you can read about him there in 2 Chronicles. But Josiah's father was an extremely wicked individual, and he caused the people of God to fall into idolatry and caused them to fall away from God. They are backslidden and they are living in a sinful place. When Amon dies and Josiah ascends to the throne, the Bible tells us in this 34th chapter, if you began reading at the top of the chapter, the Bible tells us that Josiah was only 8 years old when he began to reign over the children of Israel. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not sure that I would put an 8-year-old in charge. Hello? But he was 8 years old when he sat in the throne and became the authority in Israel. At 8 years old, the Bible says in verse number 3, in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he sought after the God of his father David. In other words, even at a tender young age, Josiah had a heart that was turned toward God. Even at a tender age, he had a desire to do that which was right in the sight of God. Verse 3 says, in the 8th year of his reign, while he was young, he began to seek after God. In the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem. We can gain a lot of information from that one verse. We know that he was 8 years old when he takes the throne. Verse number 3 says, in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young. So how many of you know in the 8th year of his reign, he would now be 16 years old? And then the scripture says, in the 12th year of his reign, he would now be 20 years old. So at age 8, he ascends to the throne. At age 16, something happens on the inside of his heart, and he has a desire to seek after God. And by age 20, he was making changes over the nation of Israel. Hey, let me tell you something this morning. Don't ever look at some of these little ones running around here, amen, thinking that they will never do anything for God. I got news for you. Some of them are going to do things that we never imagined. And some of them are going to do some things that we never even dreamed of. You hear what I'm talking about? Hey, God can use a young, tender heart. 20 years old, he begins to make changes to the nation of Israel. If you continued reading, you would read in that 34th chapter how that King Josiah, at just 20 years old, begins to cut down the groves for the foreign idols. He begins to pulverize the gods of wood and stone. He begins to bring things back into order. He begins to call the people to a place of repentance. Amen. The Bible said it. If you continue to read in that 34th chapter, the Bible said that he purged the land and that he got rid of the graven images and the idols made of wood and stone. And then after he got that accomplished, he began to restore the things of the house of the Lord. Now, I want you to stop and think about something for just a moment this morning. They are in such a backslidden condition that the house of God needs to be restored. They are in such a backslidden condition that they didn't even know where the book of the law was. Because if you read that 34th chapter, the Bible says that Josiah begins to restore the house of the Lord. And the Bible says that one of his priests found the book of the law, Hilkiah. He found the book of the law as he was rummaging through the house of God. And Hilkiah gives the book of the law to Shaphan, the scribe. And the scribe, Shaphan, takes the book of the law to King Josiah. Amen. And then when Shaphan comes there with the book, he says, Hilkiah found a book in the house of the Lord. The king says, I want to hear what it has to say. And Shaphan begins to read to King Josiah the things in the book of the law or in the law of Moses. And when the king realizes how far they have drifted and how far that they have gone away from God, he rends his clothes and he begins to weep and cry before God. They were so backslidden that they didn't even know where the law was. And Josiah, as God begins to move in his life, as he sought the Lord, God begins to bring about things in Josiah that would bring restoration to his people. You hear what I'm saying this morning? The king rends his clothes when they read the book of the law to him. And the Bible tells us that the king was so moved and stirred by what was read unto him. And he realized how far that they had drifted from God that he said, we need to get everybody together. We need to make a solemn assembly. We need to call people together. And we're going to have to make a new commitment unto God. We're going to have to make a new commitment unto the covenant of the law. We're going to have to make a new promise that we will walk in the statutes of the Lord and we will walk in the commandments of God. We have drifted far too long. And so King Josiah calls together. He calls together the small and the great. He calls the priests together and they gather at the house of the Lord. And the part of the scripture or the part of the text this morning that just leapt off of the page and began to burn in my spirit as God began to put this message upon my heart can be found in verse number 31. It's just seven little words. And those seven words are, and the king stood in his place. The king stood in his place. When I read those scriptures, something began to speak to me on the inside. When I read those scriptures, something began to burn down on the inside of me, and the king stood in his place. Now understand that he didn't just stand in a particular location. He didn't just stand in a particular X marks the spot. Amen. But he stood in his place and began to fulfill the divine calling of God. He stood in his place as a godly leader to turn the hearts of the people back to the God of their fathers. He stood up in a God-ordained, amen, a God-ordained role that would point others unto the Lord. He stood up for righteousness. He stood up for living in holiness and godliness. He stood up for the word of God. Amen. He stood up before the people and said, it's time to get it right. And it's time, amen, that we put our feet in the right place and begin to walk with our God. Hallelujah. The king stood in his place. Oh, God, give us men and women today that are willing to stand up for that which is right in the sight of the Lord. Oh, God, give us some preachers and some teachers that'll preach the word of God without fear and without favor to any man. Amen. Oh, God, give us some men and women that will stand in the face of adversity and stand up for that which is right in the sight of the Lord. Amen. When the king got in his place, the people got in their place. Hallelujah. The king stood in his place. Like Joshua, who years before had stood before the people of God in Joshua 24:15 and said, "You choose this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Like Elijah that stood on Mount Carmel and said to the people in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse number 21, "How long will you halt between two opinions? If God is God, then let's serve him. Amen. And if Baal is God, then let's serve him. But let's make up our mind and go one way or the other." Amen. I believe the Spirit of the Lord this morning is asking us to get in our place, to stand in our place. The king stood in his place. Other kings before him had failed to stand in their place. Other leaders had failed to lead in a godly fashion. Other leaders had failed to follow after the Lord. And because of it, a nation was walking in such a backslidden condition that they didn't even know where the book of the law was. And the house of God had been forsaken. Somebody hear what I'm talking about this morning. I believe it's time that we, as God's people, get in our place and begin to walk right, talk right, live right, and let God move in our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I realize this morning that it is not always easy to stand in a place to be a witness for the Lord. I have always said what is right is not always popular, and what is popular is not always right. Hello? Standing up for God is not the popular thing to do the day that we live in. But God is looking for some men and some women whose principles are not shaped by the latest opinion polls. God is looking for some men and some women whose principles are based upon what thus saith the Lord. Amen. God is looking for some men and some women that will take a stand for righteousness and for holiness and for godliness. Amen. And for standing in the gap and making up a hedge, God is searching for some folks that'll stand in their place. How many of you know Josiah faced some opposition as he began to purge the land? Well, I'm going to tell you what, we'll face opposition. We'll face those that oppose us, but right is right. Hello? Amen. Oh, God, let us be willing to stand in our place. I quoted these scriptures last Sunday, and the Spirit of the Lord seems to bring me back to them again this morning. But 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse number 9 says, "The eyes of the Lord are running to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of him whose heart is right before God." What does that mean? It means means that God Almighty, the creator of the heaven and earth, is looking from Asia to Africa and Africa to the Americas. Amen. And he's looking for somebody that'll be willing to step up and stand in their place and make up a hedge and be the one that he can use to touch this world for God. Amen. Hallelujah. Ezekiel 22 and 30, God says, and I sought for a man among them. I sought for a man among them to make up a hedge and stand in the gap before me so that I should not destroy the land. But he said, I did not find anyone. Think about that for a moment. God says, I'm looking for someone. I'm looking for someone who will stand in their place, who will stand in the gap, who will stand in their place so that I can use them in this final hour. How many of you know we are living in a final hour? God's looking for someone. God's looking for someone who will stand in their place. Who will stand in their place and faithfully make up a hedge. I don't know about you this morning, but I want to be one of those. God is looking for someone. Let me just tell you this morning that each one of us have a place. Hello? Each one of us have a place. Oh, Pastor Gary, God can't use me. Amen. Let me just tell you, God has used a donkey. God has used, he's used all kinds of things in the past. Hello? He's used a staff. He's used a stick, Aaron's rod that budded, on and on and on. Amen. If God can use those things, he can use all of us. And I've got some scripture that prove that we all have a place. John chapter 15 and verse 16, Jesus said, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. You didn't choose me. You have not chosen me, but I chose you. And I ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. In other words, God walked by, amen, our sinful heap pile and said, I can use that one. I'm going to pick that one up off of the heap. I'm going to clean it up, and I'm going to make it a vessel of honor, and I'm going to make it something that I can use. You have a place. Each one of us have a place. John 15 and 19, Jesus said, ye are not of this world, but I have chosen you out of this world. He chose to bring us out, to bring us in. Into his marvelous light, into his wonderful salvation, into his labor field. You hear what I'm saying? Each one of us have a place. And I came to tell somebody this morning that you can't fill my shoes and I can't fill your shoes. Each one of us have to fill our own place. Amen. We each one have to be in our place. I remember years ago, my wife can testify to this little testimony that I share with you. Years ago, at the very beginning of our ministry, I remember I knew God was calling me to the evangelistic field, but there were not many doors opening. I was frustrated. I would see pastors preaching to their congregation every Sunday morning. Other evangelists that were staying busy, going here and going there. And I said to myself more than once, I don't have a place. I don't have a place. I'm not a pastor. I'm not really an evangelist. I know what you put in my heart, but I'm not really either one. God, I don't have a place. And I remember there was a prophet of God that came to our home church to minister to us. And when he preached that morning, after he preached, he called me forward. And he said, listen, God has a word for you. And the first thing out of his mouth were the exact words that I had been telling God. God said, I have made for you a place. Hey, let me tell you something. God has made for all of us a place. And you can't fill my place, and I can't fill your place. But when we all pull together and we all get in our place and stand for the Lord, we can do great things for our God. Oh, hallelujah. 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 I don't know if you are here this morning. Maybe you're a parent or a grandparent and you have had the frustrating joy of watching a toddler play t-ball. I mean, you know, in a baseball game, everybody has a place. If you're going to operate as a team, everybody's got to fill their place. You got the shortstop, the third baseman. You got the left outfield, the right outfield, the first baseman. And everybody needs to stay in their place. I have had the most wonderful, frustrating joy of watching my little grandson. Hey, they're 4 and 5. I've had the joy of watching them play t-ball. And the ball is hit, and everybody on the field, it doesn't matter what position they are in. Even the catcher, everybody is running to the ball. And one kid finally gets a hold of the ball, and the coach is going, throw it to first base. And there's nobody there. And the ball just rolls right on. I said, everybody has a place. And everybody needs to be in their place. And if we're going to be successful in building the kingdom of God, then I've got to be in my place. And you've got to be in your place. And you've got to be in your place. And you've got to be in your place. And when you're not in your place, others are slipping by and missing a relationship with the Lord. I maybe remember the little game we used to play when we were kids. We'd join hands and then say, Red Rover, Red Rover, let so-and-so come right over. And if everybody was arm in arm, they might break through, but I mean, they had to break through to get through, right? But just let one person get out of place, and they'll go right by you. Hello? Well, I just wonder this morning how many people, amen, are slipping right past a relationship with Jesus Christ because some of God's people are not in their place. I wonder how many people are slipping past the message of the good news because too many of God's people are not in their place. They're too busy chasing after the things of the world and too busy trying to collect material goods and too busy fussing and fighting with one another instead of being in their place and making up a hedge and standing in the gap so that no one gets by the message of Christ. I wonder how many blessings we have missed in our own life because we weren't in a place to receive them. Oh, I started to say, shout now. Hello? I wonder how many blessings we have prayed for and missed because God sent it and we sidestepped. And it went right on by. And we weren't in a place to receive it. I wonder how many battles we have lost with temptation and how many battles we have lost with the enemy because we weren't in our place. And so we couldn't put him in his place. Hello? What do you mean, Pastor Gary? Amen. This is what the Bible said in James 4 and 7. It says, submit yourself to God. That's getting in your place. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And I'm going to tell you right now, he ain't going anywhere until we get where we need to be. Amen. We ain't going to win the battle with the enemy until we get submitted to God. And once we get submitted to God, then we can put the devil on the run. I said, I wonder how many battles we've lost with temptation and how many battles we've lost with the enemy because we weren't in our place. Hello? Amen. Now let me just tell you some areas where we need to get in our place and stand. Number one. I have six of them. I'll hurry. Number one, we need to stand in a place of prayer. We need to stand in a place of prayer. Jesus said these words in Luke, or it's in Matthew 21 and verse number 13. He said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Amen. I love when God's people all get together and there's wonderful fellowship and there's music and there's celebration and there's worship. But Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. How many of you know prayer's priority number one? Why? Because prayer will keep us walking in love. Hello? Prayer will keep us walking in unity. Prayer will keep us walking close to the Savior's side. Prayer needs to be priority number one. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17, the scripture said, pray without ceasing. Ephesians 6 and verse 18 said, pray with all prayer and all supplication in the Spirit. Let your requests be made known unto God with thanksgiving. Prayer. Luke 18 and 1, Jesus spake a parable unto his disciples unto this end, that men ought always to pray and faint not. Let me just tell you this morning, if you're not in your prayer life, if you're not in your place in your intercessory prayer, then you have time to get back up, get back in the right spot and stand in the gap and begin to pray the way the Lord intends for his people to pray. Hallelujah. Number two, we need to stand in a place, not only of prayer, but number two, we need to stand in a place of obedience. Obedience. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 15 in verse number 22, to obey is better than sacrifice. Isaiah 1 and 19 said, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. How many of you know God is looking for an obedient people? Just like us, we like our children to be obedient. Hello? God is looking for obedience. We need to stand in a place of prayer. Stand in a place of obedience. Number three, stand in a place of worship. Stand in a place of worship. Hebrews 10 and 25 said, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more when you see the day approaching. What is he saying? He's saying, do not neglect the house of God. Amen. He's saying, do not begin to lay out a church and begin to neglect the house of the Lord. Why? Because in the house of God there is unity and there is fellowship and there is strength that's passed between one unto another when we joyfully come together and give praise unto God. Not only is Christ exalted, but we are lifted up and we are edified in the Lord and we are strengthened by our unity in the house of God. Stand in a place of worship. Amen. It's time to return to prayer and time to return to being faithful unto the things of God and the house of God and in obedience unto God. Number four, we need to stand in a place where we can hear the voice of God. Hallelujah. I am amazed at how many Christian people chase after someone that's used in the gifts of the Spirit so they can hear from God. Hello? Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." If you are a sheep, you'll recognize the voice of God. Hello? I'm not down in gifts. I'm saying gifts of the Spirit are wonderful, but don't go chasing after gifts when you yourself can hear from the Spirit of God. Just get in the right place. Hello? Well, it takes a little dedication and commitment to get in the right place. I'm not sure I'm willing to give that a try. Number five, we need to stand in a place where we can be used of God. How many of you know sometimes God will use you and you didn't even know He used you? God will use you in a specific way to minister to somebody and you won't even know He did it. You know why? It's because it ain't about you. It's about Him. It ain't about you. It's about Him. Hallelujah. Number six, we need to stand in a place where we can be led of God. Romans chapter 8, verse number 14 said, "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Amen. Let's get in a place where we can be led of God. Get in a place where we can be used of God. Get in a place where we can hear from God. Get in a place where God's word is flowing in us and through us and ministering to others around us. Amen. The king stood in his place. I believe the Holy Spirit is calling us to get in our place. Stand in our place. Be faithful. Be diligent. Be committed. I'm telling you, I see a parallel with that years ago. The nation was so backslidden and so far away from God that they didn't even know where the book of the law was. We live in an age where there are many, even in the Christian community, that walk far from God and far from the principles of God. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. You hear what I'm saying this morning? They have a form, they have a ritual, but I came to tell you, I don't want a form, I don't want a ritual. I want the reality of a living Jesus down on the inside of my heart. Hallelujah. The king stood in his place. We all need to be in our place because we all have a place. And the enemy knows it. The enemy is well aware of it. And I'm going to give you three tactics that the enemy uses to move us out of our place. Number one, the enemy will come along and he will try to use trials and tribulations for one purpose, to get us out of our place. If he can hit us hard enough with trial and tribulation, he will knock us out of our place. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 12 said, "Beloved, think it not strange." Don't scratch your head and wonder why. "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which are to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you." Don't be dismayed when you are hit with trials and tribulation. It is nothing more than the enemy trying to knock you out of your place. The Bible says in John chapter 16 and verse number 33, Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. And many people stop right there, but that ain't the end of the verse. It goes on to say, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. Hey, we may face some trials. We may face some tribulation. But thanks be unto God. He never leaves. He never forsakes. And by his power, we can survive. Hallelujah. And if that doesn't work to knock you out of your place, then the enemy will pull out another tactic. Fatigue and discouragement. He will just try to wear you down. Hello? He will just try to wear you down and cause you to throw in the towel and quit. You don't have to testify. You don't even have to look at me like you're John the Baptist and you don't know what I'm talking about. But how many of you here this morning have ever just been spiritually worn down? Yeah, I'll tell you right now, I've been there. It's a tactic of the enemy. He's just trying to wear us down, fatigue us, and get us discouraged so that we will just throw in the towel and say, I've had enough. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 9 said, let us not be weary in well-doing. In other words, don't get fatigued and don't wear out. Hello? Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Well, what happens if you faint? You ain't reaping. Hello? But if you don't wear out, you don't give up, you just keep hanging on with the hand of the Lord, then sooner or later, you're going to reap a harvest. You're going to come out on the victorious side because he is always victorious. Ow! Glory to God. Isaiah 40, 31, they that wait upon the Lord. You feel fatigued, you feel discouraged, you feel wore out. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Hey, if you walk in the strength and in the power of his might, the devil will never bring you down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. My might is so limited. Hello? I was teasing with my boys the other day. You know that Toby Keith song, I ain't as good as I once was. Hello? That's just the cold, hard truth. My body says, you can't do that, boy. And my mind says, oh, yes, you can. Yeah. Now I'm learning to go, you're right, I can. But it ain't my strength. It's not my might. It's not my power. It is by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Amen. It's by the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit that even when we feel fatigued and discouraged, something down on the inside says, get back up again. Something down on the inside says, this fight ain't over. Something down on the inside says, get back in the race. Get back in the fight. I've got the victory line ahead of me this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If he can knock us out with tribulations and trials, he will try to use fatigue and discouragement. And if that don't work, he will try his third tactic. And his third tactic is a little more subtle. It's called compromise. If I can just, the devil talking, if I can just get them to live their Christian experience half-heartedly. If I can, sure, pray. Go ahead, pray. But not every day. Hello? Sure, go to church. But not all the time. Sure, you could fast, but not today. Today I want tacos. Hello? Hello? There you go. So what he does is he tries to come along and just real subtly tell us, oh yeah, you can do those things. That's all right. You are a good Christian. Just pat us on the back. And but you don't have to do that all the time, and you don't have to live like that all the time. You don't have to be so strict about it. You don't have to be so committed. I am preaching better than y'all are shouting. Amen. Because I know good and well I ain't the only one he says that to. Yeah. I lost DJ at tacos, man. All he can think about is tacos. Cast that devil out of that boy. You hear what I'm talking about? I mean, he just comes along and really subtly tries to get us to compromise. And you know why? Because if we give a little here, the further down the road we get, the farther off we're going to be. I've used this example before. Take a rifle, and at 100 yards, if you're off just by a quarter of an inch, at 200 yards, you're off even further than that. And what the enemy wants to do is come along and move us just a little bit so that he can move us out of our place, so that by the time we get down there, we are already off the mark. Hello? He tries to bring us down with compromise. Amen. I came to tell somebody this morning that the Holy Spirit is calling us to get in our place. I came to tell somebody this morning that you have a place in the house of God. You have a place in the kingdom of God. Nobody can do what you do. You will reach people that I will never reach. I may reach people that you will never reach, but together we can do great things for God. Hallelujah. And King Josiah, he recognizes the error of their way. He humbles himself before God, calls out to the Lord, and God has mercy upon his heart and has mercy upon his soul. Read the 34th chapter this coming week. The Bible says that he gathers everyone together, both great and small. And he has read to them the book of the law. And he says to them, it's time to make a commitment to God. This is where we have failed. This is where we have fallen. This is where we have come short. And the Bible said that he renews the covenant with God. He renews the covenant with God. And he causes all of those around him to come to a fresh commitment to the Lord. And causes them to come to a fresh acknowledgement of the Lord's lordship or leadership. This morning, I believe the Holy Spirit is calling all of us to a fresh commitment to live right, walk right, not just live our Christianity in word, but in deed. Not just say and not do, but both say and do. Hello? I believe the Holy Spirit is calling us to get back on the mark, get back on the X, get back in the way, get back in the right spot, get back in the principles of God. Let me use you, let me lead you, let me guide you, let me bless you, let me wash your life with blessing, let me wash your life with favor. But get in the place where I can do so, so the blessings of God don't pass you by. Bow your heads all over the building this morning. Many who will hear this message by way of the internet, many of you sitting here in the congregation this morning, if the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to your heart to get back in your place, acknowledge that before God. Heavenly Father, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. We honor you this morning. We thank you for the example set forth in your word. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this young man, Josiah, his example to us. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. Thank you for pointing out that we are not in our place. Now I pray by your Holy Spirit that you will gently maneuver into our hearts and bring us back into the place where we need to be with you. Speak to hearts and lives, I ask, in the name of Jesus. Heads bowed and eyes closed, if you would, please. Would you be willing to slip up your hand and say, Pastor Gary, I needed to hear this message this morning. God bless you and you and you and you and you and you all over the building. All over the building this morning. I appreciate your honesty before the Lord. Stand to your feet all over the building. Let me pray with each one that lifted their hands. Father God, in Jesus' name, you see the lives of individuals who feel, as they have lifted their hands, they feel in your heart or in their heart the Holy Spirit speaking to their spirit, bringing them back to stand in their place, a place of prayer, a place of obedience, a place of hearing the voice of the Lord and walking and being led of God. Sweet Jesus, I ask, Lord, that for every hand that was lifted, you would literally just flood their spirit, flood their heart with the presence of Christ. Let them know that the blood of Christ cleanses from all unrighteousness. Let them know, Father, that their sins, which may be many, have been washed away, and that grace has been extended, and that mercy has given a clean slate. I thank you for that, O Lord. I thank you for that. And now, Father, I pray as we go forth from this service this morning, that, Father God, throughout the remainder of this week, you will remind us, faithfully remind us to remain in our place, filled with the joy and the love of God, reaching out and witnessing and testifying to others of your great power, of your great love and your great goodness. Touch our hearts, Lord. Cause us to be steadfast and unmovable in our place. Thank you for bringing it to our attention this morning, O God. We ask all of these things in the mighty name of Jesus.